Also, I would like to welcome all of you in the precious name of the Lord. I wish you God's blessing. If we hear the words and take the songs to heart, then a deep longing comes up in us to be with the Lord. And we wished it would be already today, not tomorrow, today. That we are taken out from everything and being transferred into the glory of God, where there no more can be a grief anymore, no more a misunderstanding, no sorrow of heart. The Lord will then wipe off all tears from our eyes. There is no man who had an experience with God in whom the longing does not keep growing day by day and hour by hour. We most surely have trouble to hold back our tears, so touched are our hearts. If we think about that the Lord has prepared everything for us, who we are totally unworthy and didn't want to know anything about Him, and nevertheless He went after us. Oh, the love of God, so full and free, as a German song goes, from ancient times and always new. Who are you? Who am I? Who are we? That God has called us out, that He crowned us with mercy and loving kindness. Brother Branham once said in the preaching of the film, a man spoke to him and said, I was searching for God, I was searching for God. And then he says, I don't want to contradict, but I must. Neither you nor somebody else was looking for God. God looked for you. God looked for us. Already in the Garden of Eden, one has seen what happened. Man was hiding from God. But God did not hide from man. The Lord came. He knew that Adam and Eve have fallen. He could have withdrawn and say, this was your decision. See now how you deal with it. I have told you. That's how we probably would react, but not God. God didn't leave man alone. He came to him into the garden and clothed him in skins. And before this could happen, blood had to be shed. And so the Lord God, already in the Garden of Eden, right after the fall, indicated and showed reconciliation comes through the blood. And then ye will be clothed in garments of salvation. Oh, if one looks at the ways of God, what made him to do all this? And as we read in the word of introduction in Isaiah 43, I will give people for thy life. What did the Amorites and Jebusites and who they were, what did they mean to him? He had through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he had a people on earth with whom he could speak, to whom he could give promises, and for them he did everything. What did God miss? Nothing at all. For his people, he did everything. He abandoned seven nations, and each of them was superior to this people. For his people's sake, because he one day called Abraham from the city of Ur, Chaldea, making him his friend, giving him the promise. And then he speaks through Joshua, in the last chapter of Joshua, that he fetched Abraham, who served other gods, and made him a blessing. Who can understand it amidst all the nations? And recently, I said it somewhere, there was not only Abraham, there was his brother Nahor, there was the father Terah. God left Terah without speaking to him. God left Nahor without talking with him. God saw Abraham. Precious heart, next to you, right and left, God left people. Why did he speak to you? Why did he address me? God has special plans for our lives. And this we just have to understand and respect and say, Lord, here we are because you have spoken with us. You gave us promises, and these words of God we carry in our hearts, and we know that you will bring everything to pass. The singers have sung of the land Canaan on the other side of the river Jordan. The psalm writer says at one place, what ailed thee, O thou sea, that thou fleddest? Thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back, when the mountains skipped like rams, and when the trees clapped their hands. What was it? The Lord led the course of his people. He descended in the pillar of fire. What ailed thee, O Red Sea, that you were divided? Why did it happen? So that God's people can walk through. What ailed thee, O thou Jordan, that thou wast driven back? So that God's people could enter the land of promise. If you then read in Joshua, there you find treasures. The priests carried the Ark of the Covenant, and in the Ark of the Covenant was the contract of God with his people, the covenant which God made. And the Lord stood by his word and led his people wonderfully. Do you think God has changed? Do you think his word has become obsolete? Do you think his promises are no more valid? No. God is true. His word is true. And in all his doings, he is faithful. Even we, would get unfaithful, yet he remains faithful. I may not forget, it happens always to me, time and again, that I come straight into the preaching. Brother Pesal sends heartfelt greetings to all of you, and herewith I have extended them. From Isaiah 43, it stood out to all of us what is written here. And the reason we also did not overlook, because I have loved thee. Verse 4. Since thou wast precious in my sight, thou hast been honorable, and I have loved thee. Therefore will I give men for thee, and people for thy life. How wonderful that the Lord God could say this. People looked down on the people of God with contempt. Unto this very day, this takes place. No people of all peoples, and there are around 157 nations which are in the UN. Of all of them, there is no people on the face of the earth who are punished with such contempt as the people of Israel. But at the same time, there is no people on earth, no country, that makes headlines almost every day. It's a paradox, almost like a contrast. On the one hand, one does not want to mention these people at all. You don't even want to admit its existence. On the other hand, everything revolves around this one people, of which the Lord God says in the prophet that dwells in the midst of the globe. We see that God's ways are just wonderful, and that all who are led by Him recognize His ways. It is written, He let Moses know his way, and the children of Israel his doings. God lets us know his ways, and on his ways we experience his doings. He acts according to his word, which he has given. Since thou wast precious in my sight, not in the sight of the nations, not in the sight of the people, God says, in my sight, not what your neighbors, your colleagues, your friends think about you is important, but what God thinks of you. And whether we can understand this now or not, also we, you and I, and all of the people of God, is precious in the sight of the Lord. For us, He did not abandon nations, but He Himself stepped into the breach and let himself be crucified. For God so much loved the world. We all know John 3:16. since thou wast precious in my sight. Precious heart, this word applies to you and me today. Since thou wast precious in my sight, valuable for me, perhaps worthless for others, but for God, valuable. And I have loved thee. These three statements in this one verse are really worth paying attention to. A similar word is of course written in Ezekiel in chapter 16. There it says, Ezekiel chapter 16, from verse 4. And as for thy nativity, in the day thou wast born, thy nubble was not cut, neither wast thou washed in water to supple thee. Thou wast not salted at all, nor swaddled at all. None eye pitied thee to do any of these unto thee, to have compassion upon thee, but thou wast cast out in the open field to the lothing of thy person in the day that thou wast born. And when I passed by thee and saw thee polluted in thine own blood, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. Yea, I said unto thee, when thou wast in thy blood, live. I have caused thee to multiply as the bud of the field, and thou hast increased, and so forth. We could read on this word. That's how the Lord spoke of Israel. Nobody gave something for you. Nobody loved thee. All passed by thee. You were worthless for all of them. Then I passed by thee. How wonderful, how glorious. These two words are amongst the most precious in terms of redemption that are expressed in the prophets. We are dealing in these days with the word of God, with the promises for this time. And God deals with us. A word which became great to me recently, we find in the last verses of the prophet Isaiah in chapter 51, especially this verse here. Perhaps I read from verse 22. Thus saith thy Lord, the Lord, and thy God, that pleadeth the cause of his people. Especially this part, that pleadeth the cause of his people. The Lord pled the cause of Abraham, the cause of Isaac and Jacob, the cause of Israel, for his people, and what shall happen with it is, of course, God's matter. If we sing the song, "The matter is yours, Lord Jesus Christ, the matter on which we work," then this is probably taken from this verse. "Thus saith the Lord, the Highest, above him is no one. He is the Most High, the First and the Last. Before him was no one, and after him will be no one. His word is valid in heaven and on earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Most High, and thy God." Not only God, but thy God, a personal relationship. And then it says, "that pleadeth the cause of his people." Not a prophet, not an apostle, not a man of God, not the church, but the Lord pleadeth the cause of his people. We have become a part of this divine plan of salvation in this time. And we have, for the most part, already understood it, that God will make the finishing of the plan of salvation now. And that it is important that in our hearts the pure seed of the Word of God was sown, which no longer may be mixed with some kind of teachings or own opinions. "Thus saith the Lord." When this term sounds forth, then a certainty addresses us. It's the Lord who has spoken. "Thus saith the Lord." Also this we emphasized. It's not written, "Thus saith Isaiah," or "Jeremiah," or "Ezekiel," but every time, "Thus saith the Lord." The "thus saith the Lord," as the quickening word of God, has become precious and valuable to us in these days. And we want to make a clear difference between what people say and between what God has spoken. And we are ready to hear what God says, but no longer ready to listen what people have to say. "Thus saith the Most High, and thy God, who pleadeth the cause of his people." If we take this word to heart and believe it, then we can rest in God. With this, it's not meant that we should sleep or dream, but that our faith is anchored in the Word of God, and that we say, "Lord, so it is. You accepted us. We are precious, yes, valuable in thy sight. You loved us. We are yours, and you plead the cause of your people wonderfully." Not we do the work of God, but God does his work through us. He pleadeth the cause of his people. And this is not your or my business. This is his own thing, His intent and His plan, which He purposed from the very beginning. There are two places which I want to read from a sermon, namely, again, the spoken word is the original seed. The first one from part 1, page 34. Here, Brother Branham firstly referred to himself and to the ministry to fortify that when God speaks, that it's always right and also comes to pass. Tell me once when I announced something to you that was not fulfilled. Tell me something that at some point of time God has not confirmed and fulfilled as it was said. In our time, there was and is and will not be any man who could say the same thing as it was said here. Everyone else already has their excuses. The fault is always on everyone else if what they said did not come true. But God, who has the overall view, He can then not say, "I didn't expect that." People did not include some things in their calculation. But God always knew the outcome of the matter when He said something. We can rest in it that God has sent a man in this generation who spoke only then when God had spoken, and he only announced then something after the Lord had revealed it to him. To us, of utmost importance. What good are the most powerful announcements if they come from the hearts of men? What good is all consolation and the waiting for big things which people would like to see but which are not in the plan of God? I read on. If now the word seed is just as predestinated as he was, what does the same water do? Is the church of today a predestinated bride? Did God say he would have a bride without spot and wrinkle? Then she is predestinated, right? Also Christ was predestinated. He was the royal seed of Abraham. What happened through it? When the Spirit descended upon Christ, he testified of the Word of God. And if the water, the Spirit, falls upon the word seed, then the royal seed of Abraham, who believes the word of God, will bring forth the same kind of harvest. What a wonderful statement! Here the church, the bride, is placed on the same level as Christ the bridegroom. He was not ashamed to reveal his name among his brethren, and he of course did it. He became like us, being found in fashion as a man, to be a faithful high priest. He was the seed of which it is spoken already in Genesis 3:15. But who are you? And who am I? Who are we? Also, we are the seed of God. We were in Christ after the Spirit, as we were in Adam after the flesh. Perhaps we cannot understand this fully, but one day we will grasp this by faith, that the divine seed likewise served for the reproduction, as in the natural, so also in the spiritual. As on Christ, who was the divine seed and was manifested in the flesh, the Spirit came, and thus the redemption could take place, so that the redeemed could be redeemed from their body of flesh and return into their divine position as children of God, and then likewise will receive the glorified resurrection body from God. As it was with the bridegroom, so it will be with the bride. He was as the Redeemer predestinated. We as the redeemed were predestinated. The same word, the same Spirit, everything, the great program of our God. The Lord spoke of that a church without spot and without wrinkle will be washed in the blood of the Lamb and cleansed by the washing of water by the word. In the prophet Ezekiel, we have read, no one washed thee, no one took care of you. By grace we may, because God takes care of us, we may take a bath in the word. It is to hope, and I believe it from the bottom of my heart, that God will give grace to his people, that this washing of water by the word is so thoroughful that it is a full bath, not just a sprinkling, but a bath in which we are cleansed and coming out to be usable for God. Here it says that the same word seed will come forth and the same kind of harvest will come forth. What is it? The same promises which found fulfillment in Christ will find fulfillment in his church. Mary believed then, and we believe today, and Christ will take shape. I read on. Who is now the seed of Abraham? Not who it is after the flesh. Paul said that not he is a Jew, who is it outwardly, but he who is it inwardly. Who is then the seed of Abraham? Those who believe all the word of God, no matter what denominations their daddy, their mommy, or somebody else says. They believe all of the word of God. There you have it. Seed of Abraham. God said, I will raise him up with your seed. God made a covenant with us in Christ. He was predestinated. We are predestinated. And here we are told, this covenant is predestinated and applies to you and to your seed who believes it in every generation after thee. This divine seed does not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceedeth from the mouth of God. And this seed, this divine seed, this divine word has divine life in it and will reject everything, pushing it away, which does not come from the Spirit of God. People who receive the Word of God in their hearts as the living seed through divine inspiration will reject any foreign inspiration, not from themselves, but the Spirit of God in them, and the Word of God will rebel against everything that is not from God. Beloved, if you then consider what is being done and what is called coming from God, what is called the message, then we could all get afraid. But thanks be to God that a seed remained which will not bow their knees before Baal. People who do not want to act hastily to bring forth an Ishmael, but people who carry the word of the divine promise in them, who can wait until the hour of God comes. The sad thing has always been that people could not wait until the hour of God has come. From the second part of the sermon, I would like to read the following quote, namely on page 46. Now it is about the power of the believing church. Christ has all power in heaven and on earth. Do you believe this? What is then, if he is in you, has Christ really all power? He is the word seed in his body. Hallelujah. Do we understand the extent of this mighty statement? Now it is about the power of the believing church, the power of God, the resurrection power of Jesus Christ shall be manifested on earth. God has a body on earth. This body is the Church of Jesus Christ. In her shall the Word and the Spirit be effective. Through her, the power of God shall be manifest. Now it is about the power of the believing church. Christ has all the power in heaven and on earth. What is then if he is in you? We can work it out. If all the power is given to him in heaven and on earth, and he as this divine power to which everything has to be subject to, if this power dwells in you and in me, then it's not us anymore, but Christ in us, the power of God. And if he said at that time that he has given us power, making this mighty statement, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. These were not empty words. This he meant just as he said it. But now we must understand the meaning and purpose of the divine message for this time. Now it is about the power of the believing church. This believing church we want to make up. We want to be her. We want that God manifests his power. This means you and I must believe as the scripture has said, so that rivers of living water can flow, and the word of our God is no longer blasphemed, but that it is confirmed through the church of the living God here on this earth. We have to face the great task which God has given us in this time. It continues here. He is the word seed in his body. How wonderful! He is the word seed in his body. He in us becomes the word seed in us. Everything what God was, he poured into Christ. Everything what Christ was poured out into the church. This is the power. God is the Almighty. He was in Christ. And this omnipotence of God was manifest in the ministry of Jesus Christ. He did creation miracles, healing miracles he did. Never a man has spoken as he spoke, healed as he healed. His life was a special life, but it was not the earthly tabernacle, the man, but God in that man, Jesus Christ. the power of God manifest in a human body of flesh. And exactly the same is now to happen through the church. In Christ, first of all, the Word became flesh, and then all the promises were fulfilled which referred to his ministry through him. Amongst others, Isaiah 35, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, and the cripples will hop. First of all, there was the main promise which had to be fulfilled in him, and then through his life and through his ministry, all the other promises of the Word were fulfilled. It is the same now with the church. Firstly, the Word of the divine promise must find fulfillment in the church before the church can be used by God, that in her and through her all the other promises can be fulfilled. It continues here, I want to impress it on you. Yes, it shall be impressed on us, the comparison with Christ and the church. Today we are addressed. Today, God wants to use us and to make us a blessing. In the book of Acts, I would like to read two scriptures. Acts chapter 6, verse 7. Here it says, and the word of God increased. And the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Here it is about the main thought. The word of God increased. Not a knowledge, not a special doctrine, not own opinions, but the Word of God. And we understood of what it is about in this time. Not only about the spreading of a message, but this message must be God's holy word. And to the word of God may nothing be added, for every mixing of the word brings forth a mixed harvest. And to this mixing must now, God knows it, be put an end to it. It doesn't make sense to remain in a mixed condition until the return of the Lord. We must make our decision before God. Blessed is he who now understands it is the Lord who pleadeth the cause of his people. Brothers plead their cause, have their own reasoning, their own special teachings, and what goes with it. But the Lord pleadeth the cause of his people. Not your or my private matter, but the work of God in these days. The Word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and even a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. We consider it possible and also probable and with God feasible that the chairs will be full again in the last few days, and that God will call people who have not yet been called, and that they become obedient to the Word of God. We notice that many have turned their back to the pure Word, and this with statements which are found in some sermons without embedding these statements into the Word of God, but loosed himself from the Word and thus from the Lord, and operates in a vacuum. But we know one thing, there is a Word Bride, which not only uses it as a formulation, but which it is of a truth. And upon this Word Bride will fall the Spirit and will bring forth the Word unto a new life. In the book of Acts, chapter 8, we read from verse 14. Now, when the apostles, which were at Jerusalem, heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John, who, when they were come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Ghost. For as yet he was not fallen upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then laid they their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. We believe that this will return. Both will go hand in hand with one another. It is the blood-bought multitude which was chosen before the foundation of the world to see the glory of God. This multitude receives the Word of God and accepts it. And everywhere there where the Word of God was received, there the Spirit must follow to make the Word alive. This we believe with all our hearts and with all our soul. It started with Christ, the Redeemer. The Word of promise came to Mary. And then comes the following statement: the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Word of promise. And then the Holy Ghost shall come upon you, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow you. Church of the living God, brothers and sisters, the same what happened with the Redeemer happens with the redeemed. The word of promise of God for these days must and will be received by faith. Then comes the Holy Spirit into the hearts of them who received the word. But this time, it is no more about jumping and hopping, not about joyous feelings, not about stammering, but about that the divine new life comes forth, that sons and daughters of God are here, with whom the Lord can complete his work. Brother Branham said it very clearly when he spoke about that the church has gone through a growth. He said, the Pentecostal revival came unto the mouth, unto the lips. It was the stammering in other tongues and so forth. But now, he says, the church advanced further. It comes unto the head. It comes to that from where everything is directed and ruled. Now, the church of the living God is placed under the leading and guidance of the Holy Spirit. The only comparison which can be made is the following. We all know of the charismatic movement, which is claimed to be the moving of the Spirit. But the seed of the word is missing there. What good is all the moving? What good is the wind? What good is the rain? If there is no seed at all, then people will be enthused, but of an enthusiasm, sons and daughters of God are not born. How important it is to know that God in these days has made the seed of the word available, so that this divine seed can come forth by the Spirit. The church of the Lord will have both the seed of the word and the moving of the Holy Spirit. And the moving of the Spirit will not be led into our direction, but we will be led by the word and by the Spirit into the divine direction. The difference is also therein. There, it always speaks of experiences, only experiences. And some are so swindled together that you can hear it from every corner. Everything is around experiences. In the church of the living God, it is about the word. And the word is confirmed. And the confirmation of the word is the divine legitimation in the church of the living God. Not a enthusiasm, not experiences here and there, by floating in other universes, but clearly grounded on the Word of God, receiving the seed of the Word of the divine promise, and then receiving the latter rain. We are waiting, not in vain. Although we didn't continue fully in the Pentecostal way, then this has a meaning. God wants the one to come to the end to be able to begin the other. And now we reached the point where nothing of one's own is allowed to be presented. Until now, this we must all admit, it was a beautiful mixing, word, own knowledge, tradition, and all kinds of things. But now, the Lord will take care for it, that His church, His bride, will come forth from His pure, unfalsified word seed. And then we are a divine product. Then we are no longer bastards. And then there's also no mixing anymore. Then we are sons and daughters of God, placed under the leading of the Holy Spirit. And then comes to fulfillment what Brother Brem said. Now it is about the power of God in the church. The power of God, which He has in heaven, must be manifest on the earth through the church. I'm grateful that the Lord has said, to me is given all power in heaven and on earth. If He would have said, to me is given all power in heaven, then we could despair here today. And we could say, great God, what good is your great power in heaven for us here on earth? But He saw our vanity and our helplessness and said, as the risen one, as the victor of Calvary, to me is given all the power in heaven and on earth. He sits at the right hand of the majesty of God, but His church is here on earth. He manifests His divine power here on this earth through His body, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and foundation of the truth. And of this divine truth, we were penetrated. It becomes divine reality in your and in my life. The Lord calls out to us, blessed who you believed. For the promise which the Lord gave will come to fulfillment. Blessed and praised be the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand up. Heavenly Father, with a bowed heart and a humble spirit, we come in holy reverence before your throne of grace. You have seen the vanity and lowliness of your people, and nevertheless, you laid the greatest promise for this time into our hearts. Faithful God, who was Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? Who were all the prophets? Who were all your people? You loved us because we were precious in your sight. You have shed your blood for us. You redeemed us, and you called us by our names. We are yours. Faithful Lord, you have sent us one of your greatest servants and prophets in this time, a man who did not prophesy or preach after his own inspiration or after his own discretion. No, every area of his ministry was submitted unto you and subject to your spirit. From one fountain cannot come two things. Thank you, O Lord, that he could emphasize forcefully that not one single time something failed and would not have come to pass. O Lord, the words of your mouth are true. We can rely on them. Today, we are here as your people, and with us all who cannot be here, but who are part of your people, give us a virgin-like bosom, untouched, undefiled. We want to receive your holy word, for you are holy in your speaking, holy in your doings. Hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, Lord. Manifest your power through your church as you revealed your word to her. So let it be manifested that your word has still the same power, and that you confirm it, beloved Lord. Thank you for the many sermons that we have available. Thank you for all who are ready to receive your word only and to leave everything else behind. Sanctify us in your truth. Thy word is the truth. Cleanse us by the washing of water by the word. Wash us in your blood, Lord, so that you can do something with us. Lord, your word in us. Yes, you in us. Your spirit in us shall be the power which becomes effective. Faithful Lord, we thank you for it. For you have opened our hearts and also the spiritual eyes so that we can receive all things and also can grasp it by faith, what you are doing now, Lord. You are the one who pleads the cause of his people. Hallelujah. We commit ourselves to you. Receive us, Lord. Purify me from head to toe. My God in heaven, come and meet us in your wonderful grace and mercy, and do a mighty work of grace by your word, by your blood, and by your Holy Spirit in all of us. Separate us, that we let ourselves be cleansed, who we are carrying the vessels of the Lord, and who shall be used by you, Almighty God, who you are throning in heaven, you are working on earth. May your might be manifest through your church for the praise of your wonderful grace, and every promises find their fulfillment. Lord, we believe with all our hearts that you will do it. Hallelujah. Praise, honor, and glory and worship be to your name. Let it be done unto us as you have said. The word of your promise will be fulfilled. Thank you. We worship you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.